celebrate our 47th anniversary.
Amen.
And like I tell people all the time, every year it gets better. Every year is better, so that's an encouragement to you young couples who have not had very many years together. You know, one thing our children did, and it was just such a blessing, but it was such a shock to us. They sat us down when we had our reunion, 15th of July, and they started giving us a tribute, which, you know, always makes me hang my head because I feel like I've failed in so many ways as a mother. But then they gave us a real shocker, and they gave us a trip to Europe for next year. You know, that's a blessing twofold. One is that's always been a lifelong dream of ours, but we never felt like we could go. And also, we want to take it as a time to encourage missionaries. We have a lot of friends in different countries, and we want to go and visit them, encourage them, let them know, hey, we've been there. We know some of the things you've been going through, and to pray for them and support them that way. So that's kind of that'll be a blessing. We're really looking forward to that. And you know, you folks here have been such an encouragement to us. You've been wonderful. You've prayed so faithfully. You've supported us so faithfully. You've always had the smile when we come back. You've been so wonderful with hospitality. We just cannot tell you enough how grateful we are for your encouragement. And you know, as I thought about what to speak on today, I thought, you know, if we can encourage other people, what a blessing that would be in the twilight years that we have. So hopefully we will be known as a couple that encourages. That was what I would like to be known as. You know, there's a Western ballad that probably most of you never heard before. We're going to date ourselves now. That it talks about home on the range. And there's a couple of lines in there that, I don't know why, but it just spoke to me. For seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. And I thought, you know, that could be something that I would desire, that in our home, that there would seldom be heard a discouraging word. And you know, to remember the skies are not cloudy all day. Amen. And that would be such a nice thing. But you know, I wanted to find out what the word encourage means. Just what are we talking about when we say encourage? Well, Webster says, encourage is to give courage to give support to give confidence to inspire with courage or spirit or strength of mind, to embolden, to animate, to incite, to help, to be favorable to, and to foster. Now, that's just one of the definitions. I didn't continue. I didn't want to bore you. But, you know, that is a blessing to know that anything that you can do for someone else in a positive way is something that you can call encouragement. And so that's what I would like to do, is be an encourager. But you know, when I thought about it, I thought, well, how can I encourage others until I have some of these qualities or I can experience some of these qualities? So I'd like for us to look at Psalms 51:10. Psalms 51:10-15. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And you know, if I can get my own heart right, then I'd be much better encourager for someone else, wouldn't I? And of course, then we'd all know Joshua 1:9, it says, we better turn to that. I don't want to try to quote it and quote it wrong. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage.
Yeah.
Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
And you know, that encourages my heart to realize that I'm as a soldier and I need to be strong. I need to be of good courage. And then one more verse, and we know this verse, I won't even turn to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So if I get that down more or less, I realize that I'm going to be failing. But if I can get that down more or less, then I'll be in better condition to be able to encourage someone else. You know, talking about Joshua 1:9, I remember when my children were small and in Mexico, and we would be going somewhere. I would be driving, and maybe the children would all be with me, and it'd be night. And I didn't dare let my children know that I was afraid. You know, I want to be strong, you know, for them. And so I sing a lot and I whistle. And I would sing and whistle all the way, you know, just take away any fears I might have that the children would be able to find in me. And so that's something we need to do. You know, God tells us that we can sing us. See, I don't know where that verse is right now. That we can, unto ourselves, we can sing spiritual hymns. Amen. And songs. Unto, with our heart to the Lord, singular. So I thought, you know, that's a way we can encourage ourselves to be able to be an encouragement to someone else. And then I want to be encouraging to my pastors. You know, I was a pastor's wife for 8 years before we went to Mexico. And believe me, I know firsthand what pastors go through. I know they need to be encouraged. You know, I was thinking, you know, just to sit down and write a note, say, Brother Lindell, I found this verse today and I just want to claim it for you today. Or Brother Steve, I know that you've got problems and I'd like to encourage you to pray for them, to support them. Brother Brian, I just want you to know that I'm thinking of you today and praying for you. They have a tremendous, tremendous responsibility. Yeah. No one knows if you haven't been there for sure what they go through. And so we need to give them that. And we can turn to a verse. We can even send them this verse, 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 5. 2 and 5, pardon me. And we are very blessed here in this place because our pastors do fulfill these verses. And I know it's not a perfect job because none of us are perfect, but they do. They preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And then 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And you know, we need to pray for them. We need to hold them up and praise the Lord for the things that they do, that they put up with all the likes of us. And I know that's a very difficult job. And to pray for them and to hold them up in prayer. And then, of course, we know that 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, brethren, pray for us. Amen. And I know that would be their heart cry to us today, is to pray for them. And then we need to encourage our brothers and sisters in the Lord. What a blessing I have had on the mission field to try to be an encouragement. I always felt like the ladies, that especially when they first came to San Luis, when they were kind of in training still, I kind of always felt like they were my girls. And I was blessed to be able to share some things. But you know, we need not only to share with our words, but we need to share with our example, don't we? Be what we ought to be as a Christian woman, as a mate. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It's a verse that we can claim, I think. 5:11-15. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. This could also apply to our pastors, couldn't it? And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. You know, one of the verses that's been, I kind of claimed it as my verse, that I love and I depend on so much because when we had to leave the saints there in San Luis, but I claim it because God has promised it, and that is Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it.
Amen.
And you know, I think as missionaries, the ones that are leaving, I think you can say, hey, that verse I claim for those saints there at Irapuato and where, Leon, wherever, that he will not leave in, like we say in Spanish, in medias, the work. He will complete it because he started. And then in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so those are encouragements we can give to our brothers and sisters. And there's many, many verses. I had to really go over and chop down a lot of my verses. And then we need to be encouraging to our children. And you know, you who have small children, I know that you think perhaps, well, how can I encourage a little bitty kid? Hey, for example, what kind of a parent are you? Our children are all grown now, but I still like to encourage my children. I still like to tell them encouraging things to help them in their Christian walk and as their parents. Now, I think one of the things that we need to remember most of all is to read God's Word with our children. That is so important. And we fail in our busyness of life We fail to do this so many times. But it's so important to read God's word with him. You know, whenever Paul was talking to Timothy, he was saying how he knew that Timothy was raised right. This is kind of paraphrasing. Because he remembered that the faith that was in his grandmother and his mother, and now in you. And so that's important, that our children receive the word and are able, and then that we need to live it in front of them. And then we need to teach them what God expects of them. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. You see, they please God by pleasing and obeying their parents. That's very important that they understand that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And then Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So by obeying parents, our children obey the Lord. And they learn by our example. And what a tremendous responsibility and burden that puts on us as parents. Our children are watching. And they will mimic. What are they going to mimic? Are they going to mimic when we have a stormy argument? Are they going to mimic when we are praying, or when we're reading the word, or when we're talking to someone about the Lord? We need to be so careful what our children, how we are in front of our children. And then we need to be very wise in disciplining. And you know, the Bible's full of the way to discipline. Proverbs is a wonderful book. And I would challenge all of you, especially those with children, to use Proverbs as a family book. Amen. You know, you can take Proverbs because it's 31 chapters, and you can read it every day to your children. And you can start over at the end of a month. And you never will ever finish teaching from Proverbs because there's so many things. And you know, I find that if you skip one day, hey, what day of the month is this? Oh, okay. That's the problem for the day. And read it. You'd be just surprised what a wonderful training you can give your children. Just reading the Bible with them, praying with them, and reading from Proverbs. That is, to me, a family book. And then, of course, last but not least, is our encouraging our husbands. And of course, you know that's always the stump I get on. To be a good wife. To be an encourager to your husband. You know, I appreciate what John said so much. That he goes home at the end of a day, and there's Karen. And you bet ought to be our husbands. That ought to be our husband's thought about us. Come home from a hard day, and there's Berlin. Or there's Susan. You know, that means, hey, they find some consolation. They find a rest there. They find a peace there. They can tell everything that happened that day. And are we good listeners? Or do we always have something else to do? You need to be there for your husband. Whether you're, I'm not talking about just being missionaries. I'm talking about any wife needs to be there for her husband at any time. Amen. And don't come with your house coat on and your rollers in your hair and say, I'm sorry, no. That time he comes home ought to be special. He's the king, and you treat him as such. You wouldn't go to a king, be all in ugly clothes and no makeup on and look horrible. Hey, no. You need to be, when he comes home, you need to be there for him.
Amen. Amen.
And, let me tell you, there's a joke that Dale tells. I don't want to tell it like he can or not. But anyway, about the two little boys that were talking about, you know, their dads and whatever, you know, and said, we've got a den at our house. Oh, really? Oh, that's nothing. Said, my dad just growls all over the house. So are we going to be that type? Are we going to be the growlers? No. Our husband ought to be the king of our lives. And we should be there for him. Let's read, first of all, Genesis 2:18. Let's go back to the very beginning and see what we were made for. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And you know, that tells me that I should be by my husband's side. And I'm not standing up here like I'm the perfect example of always doing everything right, because Dale can certainly testify that I'm not. But I would like to be, and I'm striving to be, there when he needs me, there to encourage him. Ephesians 5:22 through 24. Wives, and this is something you've heard forever, so listen again. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And I think that in everything is the one that usually sticks in our craw, right, as women. But let us strive to be, to be under our husbands and to respect him and obey him in everything. You know, there'll be, there's some things that we can do, as a wife. Our little Linda, when she was little, she would, as she was growing up, she would leave, me and her daddy, warm fuzzies all over the house. And you know what those little warm fuzzies would say? I'm so glad you chose me. I'm so glad you picked me. Out of all the kids you could have adopted, you chose me. And you know, that's so sweet. But you know, we can leave warm fuzzies for our husbands. Now you say, oh, that's so much and gushy and similar. No, you'd be surprised. That would lift your spirits. Just leave a note on his desk. I love you. You're my special guy. Whatever. In this lunchbox or on his desk or tuck it under his pillow. You'd just be surprised how that makes him feel. That makes him feel very special to you. That he is special. And those things are just so sweet and they're important. Cook his favorite meal without even him having to ask you. Or cook a special dessert for him. Just remember that there's just always something that you can do for your husband. And to be that encourager for him. Just to be there by his side to encourage him. Because there's going to be so many times that he's going to be coming in beat down, worn out, has had a bad day. Maybe he had some tomatoes or eggs that night thrown at him or whatever. But you can be there to be, you know, and never, one thing I would say is when he is discouraged, you encourage. Don't ever say, well, I know, honey. I know how it is. You know, no. You be, hey, but you know, God's still on his throne. And he's the king. And we need to remember that we need to be encouraging when they are discouraged. And they are going to be discouraged. We're all human and we do have that. We have the makings of just being a discouraged person sometimes. You be the encourager. You know, I know I read this several years ago, but I want to read it again. It's something I had written about wives learn your ABCs. I'm not sure if some of you knew that or not. A lot of more of you are new, so I decided. They always tell me when I come, you can always tell them the same things because there's a lot of new people. So I'm counting on some new people today. And this is called Wives Learn Your ABCs. Always a smile to give away. Become a better wife each day. Careful to choose her every word. Dare to witness for her Lord. Ever ready to lend a hand. Freely give her children commands. Guard against her tongue so unruly. Harbor no criticism unduly. Interceding for others in prayer. Joyfully sharing his love and care. Learning to labor because of his love. Making certain keeping her eyes always looking above. Learning to labor because, making certain she heeds God's voice. Not wanting decisions to be her choice. Obeying her husband with respect and love. Patiently waiting for God to move. Quickly answering when God does call. Ready to give him her all in all. Seeking to please as best she can. Thanking God always for her wonderful man. United together to do God's work. Vowing to be faithful and never shirk. Willing to be molded as the potter molds the clay. Expecting his coming on that glorious day. Yielding her will to his will so sweet. Zealous to lay her crown at his blessed feet. And then I found a hymn that expresses, I think, what we need to be as encouragers. It's a very old hymn. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to read some of the lines. I would be true. For there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would be friend of all, the foe, the friendless. I would be giving, but forget the gift. I would be humble, for I know my weakness. I would look up and laugh and love and lift. I would be prayerful through each busy moment. I would be constantly in touch with God. I would be tuned for hear the slightest whisper. I would have faith to keep the path.